and welcome back to another edition of Why CT Matters. This is Carol Platt-Liebau, the president of Yankee Institute, and today we are joined by a very special guest. Tricia Tucker is the head teacher and principal at Fairfield County SDA School, and she is truly someone who is doing the Lord's work. She is helping to educate all kinds of wonderful young people and preparing our next generation to lead lives of dignity, fulfillment, and purpose. And Tricia, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Tricia, tell me, how many children do you have at Fairfield County SDA School and what grades are they in?
Sure. We have 27 students and we offer K through 8.
Oh, that's wonderful. One of the interesting things about your school is some of the grades you do blended grades. Is that correct?
Yes, we have bands. We have grade bands and we have K through 8 in one classroom, grades 3 through 5 in another, and then grades 6 through 8. We have three classrooms.
Oh, that is so interesting. And so which band do you generally work with the most?
I work with the grades 3 through 5.
Tell me a little bit about your students. What towns do they generally come from?
We are located in Bridgeport, so most of our population is from Bridgeport, but we have students as far from Waterbury, we have from Shelton, we have Stratford, and we have Stamford. Wide range of cities represented in our school.
When children come to your school, I mean, obviously they come because, you know, there is an alignment of values, but there's also, an educational opportunity that you offer. And can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So we have students who transfer from the public schools because they see the value that we have here. We are more like a family, and we do offer the same with an added touch of education here. You know, we are able to offer the academics, plus we do Bible, and we have other extracurricular activities that make our school really special here.
We'll circle back around, but could you tell us a little bit about your background? How did you find your way into this profession?
Funny you said that. I was in the science field, and I had the opportunity to branch out into education, but I did it little by little. I did more of a Jonah. You know, you have this mission, but you decide to go another way. But long story short, I had to stop running and go where my calling was, which is a ministering to the young children.
Can you talk a little bit about some of the ways that you see these young students blossom and develop under your tutelage? Because I know, you know, you've said that some of these students come from public schools and they've come to Fairfield County SDA School because they needed a different experience. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yes, I mentioned family. So family, we care about individuals. There's a passion for one another in each classroom. So you find that they're attentive and they are helpful. They want to see their peers succeed. So they're here not just for the academics, but they have a social aspect. Our mission statement talks about being well-rounded socially, physically, emotionally, you know, so we care about the full circle of the character of a child.
What kind of households do your families come from? Are these households where there's a wide range in terms of socioeconomics? Are some of them middle class, some low income? How would you describe the families?
We do have the three tiers, if you want to say low income, middle class, and then we do have a few that are upper class too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we have a variety of economic backgrounds.
You know, I've enjoyed getting to know you a bit. And one of the ways that I did do that is because some of the scholars at Fairfield County SDA have been part of the Connecticut Center for Educational Excellence's Opportunity Scholarship Program. And and it's been a joy to come and to just see a little bit of what you all do. As your students are there and they're all working together, one of the things I noticed is the joy in learning that I see and how happy those children seem to be there. I know you had talked a little bit once when I was there about some of the children who have, you know, for whatever reason, and, you know, public school is the right fit for some children, but for some children, it isn't the right fit. And you talked a little bit about a couple of children that you had seen come from the public schools into Fairfield County SDA and the change you saw in them after they had had a chance to be there a little bit. Could you share a little bit of your experience with that with our audience?
Yes, sure. We have a small population here, so the ratio student to teacher is very good. So we have individuals who were in bigger classrooms where maybe they had more friends, but were they really connected, you know, our associates. So here we are smaller in number, but there are bonds. We are able to bond, and not just a few here. All the students in the school know each other, you know, so it's a family-oriented situation that we have here.
And that has helped some of those students come out of their shell a little bit?
Yes. So initially, you might have had some who may have had experienced bullying, but not here. You know, we have students that do care, and I stress that because this is what I see on a day-to-day basis. And they care about each other, so the factor of bullying we have not seen here, and we are grateful for that. So children are able to make friends easily, and they fit in quite quickly, you know, so they're embraced. So when they come, they're embraced, and they feel, they're, as they're saying and saw, they're happy when they come to school. They want to be here.
Can you help me understand for the low-income children who come, you know, the difference that some of these opportunity scholarships make for them?
Oh, absolutely. The access to private education is not available to all families. So by them getting the scholarship, they're able to be here. So the scholarship has been a big blessing to many of our families. And, you know, the financial stability for the school as well, you know, having the scholarships allows us to make ends meet, because the family otherwise may not have been able to pay for the tuition. So the scholarship has benefited many students here.
And, you know, Tricia, one of the things that I think, you know, we feel is important is that we have the scholarships, and we always ask the parents to also contribute to the scholarships and to the tuition, because it really makes it a partnership. And, you know, together we work for the well-being of that child. And I know that so many of these parents really work hard to make this happen. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, it is a sacrifice. And with the help of these scholarships that we've been given, they don't have to sacrifice so much. So it has lifted a burden somewhat off of them. So they are eternally grateful. Some parents have said this has been such a blessing to have the scholarship. So they do know they have their part still to play. So that too, I'm happy that they see the importance of doing their part as well, and not just rely on a scholarship and say, well, we're finished.
Yeah.
So I am accountability. Everybody is accountable and appreciative.
And are the parents involved in the lives of the children and interested in how they're doing in school?
Yes, and twice a year, we actually have them come in for a parent-teacher conference. And otherwise, they can come in and see us by appointment and inquire about their children's progress or where they need to help them along a little more. So we do have good communication with parents, because weekly we do give them updates on what they're doing. And if asked, we can tell them how they're doing, but they do see reports coming in. So there's an open communication between parents and teachers and staff.
Yeah. And, you know, we these opportunity scholarships, we're trying to get this bill passed out of the finance committee so it could go on to the floor of the legislature and hopefully get voted on there. What do you think it would mean to these parents and to these children if we could help make that happen?
Everything. It would mean everything. About half of our students here can benefit. And the more that we have more enrolled, they too can benefit and make it possible. Because sometimes that's the barrier, the finances to come to the private school. So by the scholarships being available, it allows the parents to not be restricted on how they want their child educated. So whatever we need to do here to get this bill passed, I am willing to offer it to our parents and to our staff.
You know, these parents you see, and they are so dedicated to making sure that their little ones get that education that puts them on that first rung of the ladder of opportunity. And that K-8 education can be so important because it really does shape a child's whole mindset about what learning is and what it's about and whether or not they can do it. You know, I know so many bright people who decided they were stupid or they didn't like school in the early years and they really never got past it. And then you see people where, you don't really know, but they learn to love school, feel confident, and they go on just because of those early years. And I think that's really what you offer them. And it's such a wonderful, wonderful thing. Can you talk a little bit about your school and you know, the successes it has, especially, you know, when we look at some of the struggles that we see, not in all our public schools, but in some of our public schools. I mean, you know, we look at Hartford and my goodness, according to the statistics, Hartford, it breaks your heart because they graduate students and only 13% are proficient in math and 21% are proficient in reading. And, you know, that isn't good enough. And that county spends the second most of anywhere in the state per student on education. And I suspect that when you send your eighth graders off to high school, everybody is reading well and everyone is proficient at math.
Yes, we do have a criteria for graduation. So the students, when they leave here, they must be able to do 45 words per minute. And, you know, we check, make sure they're from 6th, 7th, and 8th. Those middle school years are where any gap, we really try to work to get them ready and be proficient for high school. So we do have online platforms that help us to navigate and realize if there's a gap that we can help that child. And when they do the map testing, we also are able to use those scores to help see what individualized plans, not necessarily IEPs, but the plan that will help benefit those children.
One of the wraps that teachers union bosses like to do is they say that schools like yours only cherry pick highly capable children.
Oh,
is that Can you talk to me a little bit about that?
Right. We do have an enrollment process. So we do find out if they're transferring in, how well the child was doing or how the child was doing. Mm-hmm. And we get their scores. We get a recommendation from the school. But once we look that over, the child is admitted once things line up and we can help them with the staff that we have here, because if it's something that is over our ability, we will obviously not be able to take the child. But we don't have only A's can come in. No, we don't limit that. We are here. Yeah.
You don't cherry pick the most capable children. You just check. So you're saying you just check to make sure that the child isn't struggling with learning difficulties so profound that but otherwise you're willing to have children of a wide range of abilities there.
Yes, correct.
That is very helpful to know, because you know, that is something that you hear a lot of the time, that schools like yours have higher success rates only because you'll take only the best students. And hearing you knock that misinformation down is very, very helpful. And so, you know, as we wind up, Tricia, can you tell me, can you share with me maybe what has been one of your proudest moments or achievements as a teacher or principal? What is one of the good memories that sort of sticks in your mind through what you're doing here?
Okay. Well, one. Oh.
Well,
oh.
It's okay. If you have a couple, okay. I know everyone would love to hear more than one if you care to share.
Yes. It is a blessing when you see that the aha moment. When you've worked with individuals and you've seen the light bulb go off, those are precious moments. And even when you're seeing a child reteach to another, you know that they have grasped the concept and they're able to help a peer. So these are moments that make you say it was worth it. This day was worth it.
Yes, you know, indeed.
And graduation is always sometimes a highlight as well, where maybe a child was struggling with a particular thing, but they overcame. So it is a blessing when you do see that children are maturing and growing. And even like you've mentioned, if a child is new to the school and they were a little hesitant, and then they've blossomed and they're up front participating in worship and, you know, they're talking with more students. So you see the growth, not just academically, but socially, you know, emotionally. And obviously they grow. And so physically they're growing. So our mission statement does bring a lot of joy when you see the children really blossoming, and they'll be ready for the community, not just our community, but the community surrounding our school.
Yes. And so as we wind up, you know, I wanted to make sure that all our listeners know this bill that would create tax credit opportunity scholarships, enable individuals who donate to scholarship granting organizations to be able to receive a tax credit and thereby incentivize more people to fund these opportunity scholarships without taking a penny from our public schools. We are trying to make sure that bill gets out of the finance committee. And that would mean a lot to your scholars and your school and your families, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. So again, whatever we need to do, please let us know and we will do our part here at the Fairfield County SDA School.
And so we just want to ask any of our listeners, if you go to our Yankee Institute website, yankeeinstitute.org, you will see a Take Action, and you will be able to find ways to reach out to your you can let your legislator know that you want the finance committee to pass this bill out of committee and get it to the floor of the legislature. And if you are represented by a member of the House or Senate that sits on the Finance Committee, ask him or her to please pass this bill on through. We have wonderful educators like Tricia, and they need our help. And these little ones need our help to have the opportunities and the educational access that every child in Connecticut and in the United States really deserves. And Tricia, I just can't thank you enough for taking the time to speak with us today.
You're most welcome. Thank you for having me.
Well, of course. And we are just grateful to you for your time and for your leadership of the Fairfield County SDA School. And this is Carol Platt-Liebau. We thank you for joining us on this edition of YCT Matters, and we look forward to being with you next time.
I'll show you around this place I call home.